Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And somehow I believe those in control of the Red State Talk Radio know, and thank you very much for helping us get on today. I actually have a lot in store for you today. And a part of that, as you know, let me get through the obligatory parts as I always try to do, and then I will have to get through the readjusting of the show for the little bit of problems and technical difficulties we're having for getting me connected today. But anyway, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. And so if you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, that's where you're going to find all of my podcast, our content, our model, everything you need to know to understand Republic Review. I'm hoping I'll be connecting with some folks to get some help in getting these other two websites launched. But with that, let me kind of leap forward and let you know that we did get the crowdfunding set up. And I wanted to give you today three good reasons why you may want to support this effort. Reclaiming the Republic is the only effort that is solution-based, that is engaged in a real constitutional solution to stop federal overreach. We are with many other organizations and working with them and leaders with the same goal in mind, restoring our constitutional republic. Now, as you know, I always refer to it as a hybrid constitutional republic. But the fact is that we've got a team of organizations, and I spoke to a member today, and so another leader of a different organization that's a part of this, I believe, united front. And so I will get into that in just a minute. But the third reason is we only have so much time. You've heard me say this many times. There is only so much time left before those idiots, those useful idiots in our education system, are absolutely able to literally pull the plunge and demand a direct democracy. I've already seen it, and I chastised the Republicans in Washington State for telling people to vote for a form of democracy. You may not like the consequences of high taxes or what have you, but in a Republican form of government, you have to know who you're voting for. And if you don't like them, the way to change that is literally going to the elections and or going to the voter booth and re-electing them or electing somebody else, getting those people who are voting the way you want to for small government and so forth, and getting them either out or in as we need them to do. And actually, the key word here, the key point that I'm really trying to make is that we need to get and obtain compliance. If we get to a point where we obtain compliance, then we will actually be able to finally get our public servants in doing things that will literally help support restoring our Constitution and restoring our constitutional republic. And so that key word, again, say it with me, compliance. A real, real quick groveling, because what I'm going to do is do a quick adjust, and we're going to go into a commercial break real quick. But if you've got a phone, if you have a computer, if you want to help, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And oh, by the way, if you didn't know, if you go to redstatetalkradio.com, if you scroll down underneath the players, they have this little subscription opportunity to subscribe to their monthly newsletter. I haven't talked to Scott and company, but I don't know, maybe they'll be having hosts contributing to those letters. And so that we all probably will be providing. So you may find it worthwhile in subscribing to the newsletter. And so With that, I'm going to be doing a manual jump into the out to break. So you have to forgive me when we do this because it won't be as clairvoyant or maybe it'll be far more transparent than I care to. But anyway, we could use your help. We can use leaders like you. And as a matter of fact, if you subscribe to the newsletter, you'll be just as informed as we are. So here we go. And so with that, I will be back after we have a couple of words from our sponsors. So please stay tuned and I will be right back. And I've got some really heartbreaking news and some important information for those who want to get behind I would like to say not only just a red wave, but a real take back of our Constitution. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so, as you know, every day before the show, I always go through, excuse me, and by the way, I'm still taking penicillin for my strep. So forgive me if I have to take a lozenge or clear my throat. In scanning the news, there's a lot of news out there, and there's a lot of distractions. But as you know, as I could predict on a daily basis, but I still check anyway, just because I know you want to know as soon as that news breaks, if it ever happens, that the federal government is disbanding some unconstitutional role, responsibility, or power. But the fact is, today when I check the news, they're not doing that. And the fact is that the federal government probably will never relinquish or give up any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. Well, what that means is it leaves it for you and me to do. We're going to have to do this whether we like it or not, whether we whether we find ourselves in the best positions or the best circumstances, it really doesn't matter. If you can contribute, we would be glad to take whatever contributions you have, whether that be your time with doing some research, whatever that is. And as a matter of fact, I talk to people all the time. They have time. They spend a lot of an inordinate amount of time on social media and entertainment things. And I'm saying, just imagine, I remember when I went to college, in one of my first classes that kind of helped you prepare for the rigors of college. They had this time management little exercise. You wrote down on, you know, on a piece of paper or on several sheets of paper your whole week of what you did, and you documented for almost every 10 minutes of the hour. Yeah, I slept. But what that did is it proved to you how poorly you were managing your time. And by halfway through that week exercise, or 2 week exercise, after 1 week, you started realizing, well, I could obviously spend less time watching television. But you had to do that and be honest for yourself so that you could be mature and the adult necessary in changing your habit, in changing your behavior. You know, anybody can come along and tell you, you need to do this, you need to do that. But until you tell yourself that I need to stop watching TV, or I need to quit spending so much time on social media, then you will stop and actually do other things and be far more productive. So anyway, I relish in the fact that I run into people all the time, and they spend a lot of time, like I said, on social media or doing other things, and getting them to realize, wow, you know, give up 1 hour and you can still peruse through those posts. You know, it almost seems like they have to admit that they're just sitting there waiting for the next post to pop. Oh, okay, good. I can pipe in on this one. And it's almost like a drug in some respects. And we have a highly addictive society. There's people that are addicted to almost anything and everything, whether it be entertainment, gaming. Obviously, there's a lot of people, and as you heard in the news probably, over 70,000 people died from drug overdoses last year alone. So there's no doubt in my mind that we do have a problem. I found it refreshing being a refugee from Southern California into the Redoubt area, coming up here and finding billboards all over the sides of the streets and so forth regarding helping people deal with their addictive behavior, whether that be sex, whether that be drugs, whether that be gaming or what have you. If you have an addictive habit, or you can't stop doing something, then there's help for you. And that's great to see a society, or see a small fragment of society, still recognizing that. Having left Southern California, they don't care. They're just happy to be immersed. And, you know, that addiction helps take the sharp pain of the realities of society down there away from you. So they actually, I think they endorse or promote the idea of maintaining your addiction. So one other thing, this is just an announcement. I'm going to be plugging this every day this week and next week. Friday, November 16th. I will be giving you an early constitutional look at our republic's first Thanksgiving. If you believe Thanksgiving is about pilgrims and a feast, then you need to make sure that you tune in on the 16th, because I'm going to give you what the nation really did for its first Thanksgiving and the tradition that should have moved forward from that. And I believe the tradition kind of did move forward, but it got, or I should say, we have been manipulated in forgetting and moving away from that. And in some cases, if you didn't know, Madison was responsible for so many great things, but he was kind of also responsible for opening doors that kind of let bad things occur. And so, because he believed, I remember reading his biography, one of his biographies, I've read a few, and in this one, he really struggled over calling the nation for prayer and fast, and he felt like it was almost dictating a religious standard to them. However, he knew that at certain points, and there was times when they were declaring war and going to war, he did ask for the nation to pray and fast. But there were other times where he actually sent out maybe we should ask the nation to pray, to fast and pray about this. And he sent it out, and then he recalled it and said, no, I'm not going to do that. because he didn't want to dictate, you know, that people need to pray or pray for this and that. There were times when he did feel compelled that he needed to do that, but he was very apprehensive, and that's really due to the horrors that he saw in Virginia when he saw the Virginians were literally incarcerating Baptists because they didn't have licenses to preach or to proselyte. And so, anyway, you're going to find on the 16th, this program is going to be stellar, and it is going to give you a paradigm of what a real American Thanksgiving should be. And all you've got to do is put away the bird. All you've got to do is just literally change your focus of Thanksgiving from being about, it can still be about family, but I'm going to tell you what it needs to be about if you tune in on the 16th. So there you go. How about that? Well, with that, I got some bad news. Actually, I've got some great news because I was able to talk to Bob Schultz today. I called him up and actually I had, you know, every once in a while I get that inkling, I need to call somebody. And so I was making some phone calls and I said, you know what, I got to take a second and call Bob. And I happened to call him during a very tight window of time that he had to actually, and he was able to actually answer the phone. And so there's no doubt in my mind that that inkling was of divine providence nature. And so the fact that he was able to even answer, because yesterday he had a heart attack. And so he's going into surgery and he's being transported from the hospital that he's in today down to a hospital where they specialize in these surgeries. And so what I would ask is, and let me give you background on Bob Schultz. Bob Schultz was out there being an activist and out there being in the face of the tyranny of government for several years. He started in the 80s. When I first met him, I asked him, you know, how did you get into this? And it literally became a 2 or 3 phone call story, because I only had about an hour and a half to talk to him each time. And, you know, so the first time I talked to him, he started telling me about how he was taking on the law in New York and taking on, you know, the government and winning in the 80s. And he was redressing with the government. He was addressing grievances with the government. And it's a fascinating story. But as he moved into the 90s, he started recognizing that our First Amendment rights, and I will get into specifically that part of the First Amendment when we come back from the break, because I'm about a minute and a half away. But he literally started getting very, very active. And actually, the Supreme Court ruled that he had a right to, the government had to respond to him. And he was persistent. You probably might remember he was in a fast. I don't know if he was up in on a telephone pole or he was out on the street. I forget the details. There was just so many things that he has done. He is a warrior for the Constitution. And so I am very proud and I am very honored that he is associating himself with Republic Review. He's all in support of it. And so, you know, just to have him on the team, have him on our side is just incredible. But more importantly, his history goes on and on. But the important part was that from that point, he started meeting and working with other people and realized that the federal government was denying our constitutional right to address our grievances, that we have a right to petition the government and say, you shouldn't be doing this. Tell us where you got the power to do this, and so forth. And so, and like I said, when we come back from break, I'll have the First Amendment, and I'll give you that one little clause in the First Amendment that he has been ardently fighting for, because technically the federal government has taken a blind eye and a deaf ear to the We the People. And that's why he's established the We the People Foundation, and he's done so much. And so when we come back, I will give you that little clause and I will tell you what I'm going to ask for you to do tomorrow and tonight. Thank you so much, and I'll be right back after this. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Okay, so the First Amendment really covers the freedom of speech, press, religion, and petition. And actually, I think they kind of miss one, and it's assembly. But let me give it to you. Congress shall make no law, and this is a restriction placed upon the federal government, that they shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the peaceably to assemble, the people to peaceably assemble, and the last part right here, and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Well, so Bob actually discovered not too long ago, like at the turn of the century, that sounds like a long time ago, and it was 15 years or so ago, he realized that they literally had taken a deaf ear to the people, and they were no longer responding to people's petitions, that maybe some people had forgotten what or how to petition the government for redress. And so Bob, you know, was focused more and more on trying to restore our ability to get the government to address our grievances. So in doing this, as a part of this awakening, I've been telling people that the awakening had started back in the 90s, and actually Bob was probably a part of that as well. I think the counterculture revolution was a shock that really started sending waves throughout our society that literally gave people a wake-up call that said, hey, are you aware of the fact that, you know, what's going on and what they're doing is literally perverting our constitutional rights? If you understand that concept, peaceably to assemble, that has nothing to do with being able to march from, you know, one point to another point and blocking traffic and so forth. The peaceable to assemble means that you have the ability to peaceably assemble somewhere without taking away the rights and privileges and immunities of other citizens. And so if it's one thing if you actually, you know, file to have a march or a parade, you know, the government allows you to do those things. But it's another thing to literally disrupt commerce by literally creating an assembly in the streets. That is not peaceably assembling. Peaceably assembling may be, you know, assembling in the park, whether that be a city park, county park, or what have you, somewhere where you are not restricting the rights. And the Supreme Court and the liberals have literally empowered and they've weaponized these radicals that want to have all of this assemblage and literally shutting down your ability to move commerce, your ability to go to the store, go to work, or what have you. That was never the intent by that amendment. The framers would shudder to think that one little clause in this amendment literally empowered people to take away your ability to move commerce across the interstates, like what happened in California, what's happened in Missouri, and plenty of other places where they literally go out and they start protesting out there. This comes to a shock to you, but there needs to be laws, and there actually are laws that you're not supposed to be out there. But the information and the way the police, and I've talked about this, how the police are deliberately going down measures that are not enforcing the laws, and they're being told to hold off. They're literally hoping the outcome is that these two organizations clash, the leftist with the other leftist, because most of those are the conservatives, because in some cases it's people at Trump rallies that are trying to go to or coming back, and then they get attacked by the Antifa or all of these evildoers. And so they have a responsibility of arresting those people, because that obviously that's not peaceably assembled. But I'm getting off of Bob. The whole point is Bob really brought an awareness to the nation, created a Continental Congress in 2009 where he had representatives from every state come and petitioned the federal government in grievances. And so because he's having surgery tomorrow, because he's such an instrumental player, the We the People Foundation is it's a large organization, and Bob is, it's too soon. I mean, we need him. I'm praying, and I'm going to ask you, those of you who are inclined to pray for those in need, I would beg your indulgence in praying for Bob tonight, tomorrow, over the next 24 hours. Just please keep him in your thoughts and your prayers. You may not know who Bob Schultz is. His name's Robert Schultz. You may not know him, but I am telling you that Robert Schultz is an instrumental figure in, and I believe he will go down in history as one of those guys, like Otis. I forget Otis's name, but Otis was a Britain citizen who was working for the British government, and he was the one that actually started educating Americans on our rights, on what we needed to do. That's kind of like Bob, what Bob's doing. And so, and Bob has been doing it for a long time, and he's been doing this without trying to gain recognition. I've asked him several times, come on the show. I'd like people to hear your story. I don't have time, you know, because actually, and I've told you this, he's been fighting the IRS for years, since 2011 with the Obama administration, in trying to silence him. And the reason I called him today was I had this inkling, a prodding to say, give him a call. And so I called when I got inkled, and sure enough, I had those 5 quick minutes of clarity with him. And the fact that he took it, and the fact that one of the first things he asked me was, hey, how are you doing and how's the cause going? And I started expressing to him what was going on in Wyoming. He goes, so Wyoming is going to be ground zero. And I said, it looks like it. And he goes, that's so great. He goes, I'm praying for you and I'm pulling for you. And I go, hey, Bob, we're going to pray for you and pull for you because we need you. And the fact is that, you know, he, with what he's facing with his family and everything right there, taking that moment of clarity and saying, hey, how are you doing and what's going on? I mean, that's how selfless this man is. And so he's literally been fighting for America's rights. And if you don't know where his money's been coming from, it hasn't been coming really. I mean, there's been a lot of people that have contributed to his organization, but his organization has kind of dried up because of what the IRS has done to him. And so he's been forced to basically sell off property that he owns in trying to keep himself, you know, afloat in fighting the IRS. And oh, by the way, he's been representing himself and winning. And that just shows you what a fighter this guy is and how we need him on our side. And so I'm looking forward to the day when I am actually able to stand in the room with Mr. Schultz and able to, I was so honored to be able to stand in the room and meet G. Edward Griffin and, you know, shake his hand and sit down and talk to him. I mean, these are monumental people. I am standing on the shoulder of giants, and I recognize that. And I recognize the Lord's hand in this. And so again, I just say it one more time. I'll ask you to please, please pray and fast if you can for Bob Schultz tomorrow and tonight as he gets ready to go into surgery, and pray for the surgeons that work on him and those who are in the room, that they may be able to do all those things necessary for him to have a very quick and speedy recovery, because we need him back as fast as possible. And so with that, because I know that the wheels of justice will grind him down to a nub if he's on his back way too long. And I don't believe he's the kind of man that will allow himself to be on his back that long. So one more time, we're all praying for Bob tonight and tomorrow, if you're inclined to do such a thing, because I truly believe in the power of prayer. I've seen miracles literally come from just the power of prayer alone. So with that, let me move forward. I know I mentioned this last week, and I do know that this is a part of the agenda. As you see Trump doing this, this, and this, and it seems like we're winning victories, I am telling you that the inner workings in the inferior courts, the Supreme Courts, and so forth, things that are happening are not necessarily going to be in our favor. So I told you this last week, as I mentioned this, and actually I wanted to tell you the day it happened. 2 weeks ago today, the Supreme Court ruled, or actually they shielded the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross from having to answer lawyers' questions in a New York, and actually I think there's six states, but New York is the first one in the queue, in challenging the U.S. government in asking a question in the 2020 census about citizenship. I want you to think about that. The states are challenging the federal government on their asking a question in the U.S. census that occurs every 10 years to get a complete layout and an understanding of our demographics as a republic. They're challenging the fact that the U.S. government is asking if they, you know, regarding an individual's citizenship. Are you a citizen? And so one has to look at these six states, and I would probably say, why are the other 44 states not taking these six states to court saying, you have no right to try to stop, you know, something is instrumental and something that is informational as well as relevant to a U.S. census, such as citizenship. You got to be kidding me. I'm telling you, the red states are sleeping at the wheel, and that's what we're here to do, folks. We're here to start waking them up and reclaim this republic. I'm at a hard break, as you know, and I will be back. So please stay tuned, and we will be back for another segment. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so, as you can imagine, because we had some technical difficulties, I'm sitting here doing a lot of math in my head so I can make sure that I have everything kind of planned out so that we can kind of, when we go, let's just say when we go off air, that we do so that there's, you know, on time or the way it should go, right? Because you want your, you know, you want things to be done tightly. Last thing I want is all of a sudden my words getting cut off or what have you. That's supposedly the death for radio, having your sentence cut in mid-sentence or what have you. So anyway, let me get moving forward here. And with that, I want you to know that the Supreme Court, even though they may have shielded Wilbur Ross, they're still allowing this to go forward. One would know, and if you looked in precedents, you will find, or I should say in past census, they've asked those types of questions. They've literally determined what citizenship and who's here and so forth. And the fact that they're challenging this now just lends to the fact that the court system and almost every facet of our government has been weaponized to literally be a part of the collapse of our republic. In addition to this, this trial began today. So even though 2 weeks ago they said, okay, the Secretary of Commerce isn't going to have to testify. However, they're moving forward, allowing these six states, to challenge this citizenship question. And so it appears what these states are trying to do is they're trying to use the court to wash away our nation, our states, and our individual sovereignty. And as I told you last week, the ends justify the means. They are trying to get the court to legislate, and this is clearly something that the Trump administration needs to go to Congress and say, are you kidding me? You guys need to actually define this and shut the court up, because the court has no voice over this matter. The fact is that this falls well within the federal government, and it is not infringing upon any state rights, because the federal government does have the enumerated power of naturalizing and having a uniform process, as well as the responsibility over immigration and so forth. States they lost that right when we closed down the slave trade. So in tandem with these court cases, along with the caravan and the elections, this should actually start sending alarms to most of you. We have to stop thinking about, you know, how great it is to have Trump in office. We have to start realizing that we are in the midst of a war. There is an ideological war that is literally trying to decimate us. And if we are not going to step up, and if we are not going to do the actions necessary, such as reclaiming the republic and forcing the restoration of our constitutional republic, then the question I have for you is this, and think about this. You may have kids, you may have grandkids. If we lose this republic, and you had opportunities, but you didn't take the time because you ended up spending more time on social media or letting other things consume you, how are you going to explain the loss of liberty to your children? I talked about this when I was in LA, and I asked folks about the enslavement of welfare states. And I basically said, if you are one of the many in Southern California that are receiving some type of an entitlement or subsidy, and that you are literally just allowing yourself to be enslaved to the government, how are you going to be able to answer to your children that when we lose this great republic, that when China takes over, because the debtors are going to try to do this, how is it that you're going to explain this to your kids and say, you know, Mom, Dad, how can you let this happen? How did you let this happen? It was in your hands to stop this. As I sat down with my father before he passed from cancer, I had a very difficult conversation with him. And that conversation alluded to this, that as proud as he was being a part of the greatest generation, I had to ask him, why did he and that generation sit on their hands when the Franklin Delano Roosevelt's administration rammed down America's throat socialism with the Social Security and a lot of the other programs that they were running down their throat from Hoover and FDR? Why was it that they allowed us kids to be strapped with these albatross debts? Why was it that they didn't fight back? And he goes, you're right. And I go, so the fact is, you're called the greatest generation, but in all honesty, I believe that the greatest generation was the generation that literally sat on their hands. I believe if you look at the names, there's a name, I think, before the greatest generation, they're called the lost generation. I honestly think that lost generation was probably, you know, a part of that, the greatest generation. And I kind of have to ask, why is it that they use these types of terms and names? They know that things were hard. They know that things were bad. But people were actually living and they were getting by. It was the government, as the empirical data comes out. And as we looked at how the government kept on responding, the government kept the people in an impoverished state by the way they were manipulating the currency, the way they were manipulating businesses. You know, that Blue Eagle that I told you about, and these standards as they got us into war so that they could take greater control, they learned all the lessons necessary of literally controlling this republic. And so the question goes back to you. As your children, as we look and watch our liberties just literally slip through our hands, and your children come to you and say, as they're starting to grow up and realizing what they're facing, a lack of liberty, how are we going to be able to answer that? What is it that we're going to say that, well, I did this and I tried to do this. I would rather die. I would rather die fighting for my liberty. I understand the ramifications of what death means, but I also understand the ramifications of lost liberty. And as they say, once liberty is lost, and with this new beast, go look at what they're doing in China and how they're deploying this artificial intelligence and this level of control into Europe as well. It's coming everywhere. It's coming here, folks. You get to have the final say. And if you don't start stating and standing now, just because Trump is in office, he needs our help. He's creating the diversion. We have to get organized down at the state level. And I'm telling you, if you're not already organized or getting into the party, you need to be a part of that party. And you need to start injecting the focus towards the Constitution and compliance. I can't wait to share with you what I'm going to be doing in Wyoming. But as soon as that presentation is done in the can, it will be up on YouTube on the Reclaiming the Republic YouTube page or YouTube channel. And it will also be on the Northwest Grassroots YouTube channel. I would recommend you subscribe to both of those. There's very good information on both. But Reclaiming the Republic is all about me. And I don't mean it to be that way, so forgive me. But the guy that runs that, I don't run that. The guy that runs that is basically putting all my content there for me. And so with that, I want you to start thinking. We're all going to have these tough, difficult conversations to have with our grandchildren and our children. What did we do? Did we literally sit and watch this stuff just decay and crumble, right there on our own hands and go, well, I guess I can't really do anything about it. I guess I'll just have to let it go. I'm not about that. And I hope you're not about that either. I hope that we all can do what's necessary and take that necessary stand. It's not about gaining market share. It's not about subscribing to my specific channel so that you can watch conservative entertainment and so that I can make a lot of money. I have told you there's no money in this for anybody. When people look at it, that's why a lot of conservative entertainers don't want to have anything to do with this, because it fixes the problem. Conservative entertainers, they lose their market. If all of a sudden you have nothing to complain about, you have government in compliance and you have your state complying and everybody's in compliance, who can complain? You don't have anything to, you can actually focus on doing your job. You can actually not worry anymore about your children's future. And you don't have to be hung up on these, marathon talk shows about a specific problem or a train wreck. It's pretty easy if you ask me. What do you want? Do you want to put an end to this craziness of tyranny that we're living under? Or do you want to actually continue on in this craziness? Because they're getting step and step and inch closer to the closing of the deal. And when they do, they will put aside the Constitution once and for all, because we'll no longer either be able to service our debt or we will be in either military problems or what have you. They're going to put aside the Constitution. And don't believe that in doing that, we are going to be better off, because when that happens, liberty will be lost. And that's why I'm praying that the state legislators hear this message, that they understand and know that that is their constitution. The federal government in the Constitution was granted no power to set aside the Constitution. The Constitution is a contract written for and by the states, and that is why the states have the authority to step in and say, sorry, you don't have the ability or power to do that. Show us in the Constitution where we've delegated that power to you, and you will find that it's not there. And then the states will say, you just keep doing what we tell you to do. That's all right. We've got it from here. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and we will be back tomorrow. God bless. Take care. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.